Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063 the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keiser here with you on this Thursday morning. We'll be joined by Predators assistant coach Todd Richards. Coming up here in about 12 minutes at 7:15. So looking forward to that. Preds taking on the Buffalo Sabres tonight. And the NHL trade deadline is tomorrow. A lot of those moves getting underway yesterday, though. A lot of moves going on in the NHL starting basically yesterday afternoon. It all kind of kicked off with Vladimir Tarasenko being traded from the Ottawa Senators to the Florida Panthers. So the Panthers, who are currently the best team in the league, loading up with Tarasenko. And then Colorado got Sean Walker from the Philadelphia Flyers. And as a part of that trade, Ryan Johansson goes from Colorado to the Flyers. A conditional first-round pick coming back to Philadelphia as well. And Johansson immediately put on waivers. So Flyers acquire Johansson, the $4 million cap hit that he had with Colorado. Remember, the Predators are still paying half of his contract. So Preds have a $4 million cap hit out of a retention spot with Johansson. And he plays in Colorado for basically a little bit over a half season. They ship him out. And now the report is, if he does not get picked up on waivers, which he probably won't at that cap hit, he's going to be in the American Hockey League playing for the Lehigh Valley Phantom. So a very interesting spot for Ryan Johansson right now.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, it's tough. And, you know, Nick talked about it last time. I mean, it's too bad, you know, for him. And I don't know. Adrian Dater said something about something, whatever. But I know some Preds fans have, but it's not allowed, right?
It's not allowed, and it
wouldn't
it
happen anyway.
Zero consideration.
Yeah. Zero consideration. Wouldn't happen anyway. Bad idea. But just to be clear, it's not even something they could do anyway. So it's interesting because we talked about it earlier in the season. He was playing well.
He started off good, and then it basically cratered on him. After that,
you think his career might be over in the NHL?
I think it might be. I think he's still good enough to play in the NHL, but right now, I mean, the problem with him is, and you know, they brought him in at that rate to try him out to be their second line center, and it just didn't work. I mean, he's a playmaker; that's his biggest strength, and right now he can't make plays. Like we talked about him winning the Cy Young earlier this year. At one point, he had like 10 goals and 3 assists or whatever it was. Like he's not creating offense. So when you're not creating offense, especially on that team, that's a little concerning. So, right, I mean, he's still an NHL player.
Yeah, like it's hard for me to believe.
His contract is prohibitive.
Yeah, sure.
Like nobody's signing. Like he's put on waivers. It's a $4 million cap hit if you pick him up. Nobody's picking him up for $4 million, I don't think. Yeah. So, like right now, I think for the rest of this year anyway, he may just be in the American Hockey League. And then we'll see it. After that, he's got 1 year left on the contract, so we'll see what that looks like, but I don't know. I think he might be, for the time being, done in the league.
Well, as much as we cover the AHL, we could be talking about a lot of Rajo this year,
could
actually,
be.
When it comes back around, huh?
Could be. Milwaukee better watch out. Just saying.
Start scouting them now, Milwaukee.
Couple other big moves. Colorado also making a big move right after that with Buffalo. They traded for Casey Mittelstadt, who is now going to be their second-line center. They sent Bowen Byram, who Tommy Novak turned inside out the other day against Colorado, to the Sabres. Bowen Byram, kind of a stud prospect defenseman who was a part of their cup run a couple years ago, and it hadn't really worked out for him this year. So they sent him back to Buffalo, a building block for Buffalo, and Casey Mittelstadt coming to Colorado. Edmonton loading up yesterday. They got Adam Hymerick and Sam Carrick from the Ducks, so adding to their roster. The Rangers adding Alex Winberg from Seattle. And then there's Vegas, who somehow always finds their way in these discussions. So they traded for Anthony Mantha 2 days ago on Tuesday. And then yesterday they acquired Noah Hanifin in a 3-team deal with the Flames and the Flyers. So Hanifin, who's a good defenseman, kind of a stay-at-home type of defenseman, now going to Vegas. They're working on a longer-term deal with him. And the reports are that Vegas might not be done. They might be looking to add another forward at the deadline.
No cap. They got no cap.
I mean, Mark Stone's been hurt, so he's been
on the LTIR,
baby. And there's you know, they put Alec Martinez on injured reserve yesterday too. So Vegas is clearly gaming the system a little bit. And we've talked about this before. Like, you know, I remember
just like
in 2015, you know, Patrick Kane got hurt for Chicago, was out the kind of the second half of the year. Then magically he was ready to go by game one of the playoffs against the Predators, and they had added to their payroll. Tampa had done done this.
Tampa's done it. Oh, yeah.
You know, Vegas is now doing it. So, I mean, look, if the loophole is there and you figure out a way to do it, knock yourself out. I mean, look, I can tell you right now, like, it sounds like Gabriel Landeskog, who's been out all year and basically all of last year for Colorado, might be ready to go by the playoffs.
Oh, boy.
They're going to do the same thing. I mean, they're going to roll him out there for game one if he's ready to go. So, there's a little bit of a loophole right now that it feels like Vegas is taking advantage of.
Well, when you see other teams do it, yeah. You know. How about, did you mention Tarasenko?
Yeah.
How about Tarasenko to the Panthers?
Yeah. It's an interesting move. Like, Tarasenko.
Senators retained 50%.
Like, everybody hears Vladimir Tarasenko and they think, oh, man, okay. Like, he's not what he used to be.
No.
He's still a good player.
He got 60 points,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, he's a good player. And, look, that team has been, it's interesting because they've got good offensive talent. They hadn't been able to stop anybody all year. Like, he scored 17 goals this year. He's got 41 points in 57 games. He's a good player. So I think he slots into them perfectly, because you could put him either on the second or third line, and that's a pretty good guy to have on your second or third line.
Yeah, so
they're loaded.
So these all count as deadline deals, is that right? Are we counting these?
I count these.
Okay,
yes.
Okay. All right. Just wasn't sure. I know you guys are sticklers on what counts as a deadline deal or not. So this is a lot.
Yeah, a lot going on.
Is today going to be as wild?
I don't know. I mean, Jake Guentzel is still out there.
Still, he's the big one.
That's going to happen at some point, you would think. I mean, there are moves out there left to be made. Tyler Toffoli from New Jersey could be in play. So there's still a lot of moves out there that could happen and that are out there on the table. But it just kind of all came wave after wave yesterday. So, you know, some of the big moves have already been made. When you see this happen and moves start to go down, that's when general managers start to get a little desperate,
get a little itchy,
miss out on their guy.
Yeah.
So I would assume we're probably going to see a few more big ones today, would be my guess. And then, of course, I mean, we know we will Friday when the deadline comes up and teams. I mean, it's basically like, give me your best offer, give me what you'll take as a return, and we're either going to do this or we're not going to do it. So Friday creates a little bit of pressure by itself, but I think when you see it start to get rolling yesterday like it did, I think you'll see some more today go through.
A lot of people asking about LTIR and the text line.
Yeah.
I mean, back when the last time when Tampa Bay did this, who the heck was that?
It was Kucherov.
Yeah. People are like, what can they do here? They should do something, right?
I mean, it's tough because sometimes, I mean, there's supposed to be like an investigation of some sort into this, and like, you got to actually be hurt.
Yeah.
Now,
You can be hurt,
and you could also be ready to play and then not come back
exactly.
When you're ready to play.
Like the whole thing is like, you got to investigate and then check up daily and
right.
Make sure they're still hurt.
Like, I have no doubt that Mark Stone is hurt in Vegas. Now, can Mark Stone, let's say the playoffs, I don't even know when the playoffs start this year, the specific date, but let's just say they started like April the 11th. Could Mark Stone be ready to play by like April the 2nd? Probably. Is he going to do that? Probably not. And that's I don't know how you enforce that, but that's what it is. It's like, you know, when Kucherov was out, or like, I think Kane's a good example too. In 2015, Kane was ready to go and looked 100% in game one of the playoffs. You telling me like 3 days before that in the regular season he couldn't have played? Probably could have.
Right. And so for people asking what it is, I mean, basically you remove them from the payroll.
You remove their salary.
You remove their salary.
You get like cap space freed up.
Yeah.
So
it's, I mean, yeah, I don't know. Those guys,
it's a little fishy, but right now it kind of is what it is. So,
and especially when a team then wins it, you know,
right.
When
which
it
has happened
takes
a couple
advantage,
times
right? You know, like, yeah.
Tampa's done.
I mean, it's not like so. It's not like you're out there like trying to fake injuries to make this happen, but you are prolonging it. I would presume that
there's
at times, and that's
no question.
That's not great.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Predators assistant coach Todd Richards. Preds back in action tonight, taking on the Buffalo Sabres. We'll get into that with him. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063 The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Make sure you tune into 94.9 The Fan tonight as Vanderbilt women's basketball takes on Florida in the SEC Women's Basketball Tournament. Pregame at 7:15, tip-off at 7:30. Make sure you're tuned in for that. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Hoping to be joined by Predators assistant coach Todd Richards here shortly. Preds back in action taking on the Buffalo Sabres tonight. So, though we mentioned it, a ton of trades going on. Will there be more today? And will the Nashville Predators get involved in the trade deadline? That's kind of the big question around here is now that the deadline is kind of kicked into full gear here, what's going on with Barry Trotz behind the scenes? What could the Predators do here over the next couple of days? And, I guess there's some intrigue on both sides of things, Joe. The buying part of this, maybe it's a small buy for the Predators. Or the selling, like, you know, the Alex Carriers of the world. You know, somebody look at Yakov Trenin and say, you know what? We need a third line, kind of a bruising forward, and we'll give you a third or fourth round pick for Yakov Trenin. Do you do that if you're Barry Trotz? I mean, it's kind of a couple of different sides of things that are interesting. And then there's, of course, the retention spot that we talked about yesterday. With a lot of these moves going, like to me, if you're going to get in on that, better get in on it if you're Barry Trotz right now to use one of those spots to get a significant pick back your way.
Yeah, that one. Yeah. I think it'd be – I mean, I guess at this point almost a disappointment if it doesn't materialize, right? What about anything else if there's no – change to this roster either way? What's the reaction of Preds fans?
I think they'll largely be okay with it. Largely. Now, I do think, I mean, look, if you're sitting here today and you're saying, you know what, you could probably get a second round pick for Alex Carrier, you need to do it. I understand that. I mean, if they traded Carrier today and they got a second round pick for him, I'd totally understand it. I'd say, okay, yeah, that's a good move. If they end up going through this and basically doing nothing, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. I don't think it's a huge deal. I think most of the fan base would say, all right, you won 8 games in a row. You're on a 9-game point streak. At least you're not, like, giving up future assets, especially, like, first and second round picks to go add to the group. I think most of the fan base could probably live with basically standing pat.
What if you just took the value of, let's say just internally they believe, look, Carrier-Lauzon's been a really good pairing. Don't want to disrupt that. He's been solid all year. So we believe that that might end up actually being the difference in making a playoff run. So take that on one hand and a second-round pick on the other hand.
It's a good question. I would probably lean second-round pick, but I think a lot of the fan base would probably lean the other way. Like I still think they should collect as many assets as they possibly can. I don't think they're going to do that.
That's just one asset, though.
That's just one
asset versus, you know.
But it's a significant playoff. I mean, it's a second round one.
Sure.
But if you believe that Carrier, I guess, is that important to your playoff run, then that's probably worth more than a second round pick. I don't know if I believe that. Like, I think he's a good player.
Yeah, I'm not saying that's what they think. Right. I do feel like it's just. You know, in particular, like Lauzon emerging as a good player this year.
Sure.
I mean, they play well together.
They right? do. Yeah. I mean, and look, last night was not their greatest night, or Tuesday night was not their greatest game. But for the most part, they've been pretty good this year. And look, Carrier's a good player. I had big question marks about him coming into the year. Him and Fabbro were kind of in the same boat. Like, I've always thought Carrier was a little bit better of a player than Fabbro is. But I think both of them have responded pretty well this year, given the circumstances that they've been in. I think it's worth asking, like, is Carrier, what's he asking for with this contract? And is he a long-term part of your defense? I think could go either way on that. Like, if they signed him, do I think it's a bad move? No. Like, I think he's a good player. But if they looked at it and said, you know what, we like Alex Carrier, but we like Spencer Stastny more, and we want him to play higher up in the lineup, okay, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah,
like, I think Carrier is not an irreplaceable player. Let's put it that way.
Right. Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's just. I mean, I do. Like, I am okay with what's going on influencing you a little bit, but just not big stuff. You can't take big stuff away, take it off the table, right? It just it doesn't match up. Like overall, making the playoffs, even having a chance to do something in the playoffs, the way they've played lately, you can't rule that out. To me, doesn't match up with the haul you would get for UC Soros. Sorry to keep bringing it up.
Right. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Larry. Larry, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good, man.
Great.
Hey, my thing is, do we think this team can actually win the Cup? I don't believe this team can win the Cup. So that's why I think you take the trades. If you can get a good trade in for a second-round pick for Carrier, or maybe something comes along with Soros, maybe you take those picks, because, listen, this team ain't going to win the Cup this year, or maybe not even next year.
Thanks for the call, Larry. I appreciate it. I mean, no, they're not a Cup contender this year. Now, I mean, we've seen crazy things happen in the playoffs, and teams get hot and all those things. So certainly you can't ever completely rule something like that out. But no, I mean, they're not Vegas. They're not Colorado. They're not Dallas. You know, so the odds are, if they make the playoffs, it's going to be one and done, and you're in and out. So I think there's a little bit of, if you're Barry Trotz, because ultimately his opinion on this is what matters, I think there has to be a little bit of realism in the back of your mind of, like, not getting too caught up in the moment. Like, I think you react to the information that's in front of you. And he talked the other day about, you know, the team has responded as well as they possibly could have responded to the circumstance that they have. And there is some level of rewarding the team for that. And I understand that as general manager. I do think you can't allow yourself to get too caught up in the moment either way, when things are going good or when things are going bad. So, I mean, is there a scenario where they could do both? Like, he kind of brought that up on his own the other day of, like, you know, there's a situation where maybe somebody offers me a second-round pick for somebody, I take it, and then I go spend a second-round pick to get somebody else. Like, you know, that could happen too. I mean, there's a ton of options that he has. So I guess with the options that are on the table, I guess I'd be surprised if they totally stood pat, but also – like, weighing the pros and cons of that, of, you know, does it make sense to go acquire a second-round pick to then just turn around and spend a second-round pick to go get somebody else? Like, I don't know. A lot of that depends on who specifically the player is that you're talking about.
Yeah. And, again, it's like, I'm down on the rental. You know, yeah, who is it? I mean, what did someone just throw on here? Fabbro for Toffoli?
I don't think that's going to
happen. That's probably not going to happen. If things went completely crazy, Soros for Bedard. Yeah, there you go.
Soros for Bedard.
I assume you're joking.
Yeah, I do that.
Maddie's joking, right? I have to. I'm bad. I'm bad at people trolling me, and then I'm not. Wait a minute. Do I need to yell at you, or are you just messing around?
One thing I do need to bring up, though.
Entire franchise for Bedard?
Brandon on the text line said, did anyone think the 2017 Preds were Cup contenders?
Yeah.
The answer is yes. Before the season,
yeah,
they were picked by many people to go to the Western Conference Final, Stanley Cup Final. Now, as the season went on, no. I mean, their first-round matchup against Chicago, pretty much everybody thought they were going to lose. So I guess it depends on which way you view that.
But. Yeah, right. Like, when the playoffs came, no. And I thought they'd get smoked by the Blackhawks. And as it turns out, they ended the Blackhawks' reign. But, yes, that was a much more talented team, much more complete team, built to – they had just won a playoff series and taken the next one to the Game 7. They were a game away from the conference final. That was still the prime of a team that – conceivably can be a contender. That's not this.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Predators assistant coach Todd Richards. Todd, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Sorry for the late phone call this
morning.
That's
okay. All good. Fine. We appreciate it. So taking on the Sabres tonight, and Todd, we were just talking about, you know, the winning streak and what it's been like around here lately to watch this all go down. What's it been like from your perspective to watch the kind of the turnaround with your group and putting things all together over this last 8 or 9 game streak here?
Well, I was just talking with some friends the other day, and you know, you talk about the difference of you know, between winning and losing, and your whole day is affected by it, even days afterwards. And you know, I guess that's the life in sports that we've chosen, and that's kind of the reaction you get a lot of times. So this run that we've been on and the way that we've been playing has been a lot of fun. It's been great to, obviously, a lot easier to come to the rink, a lot easier to do work and get work done. And you can see it in the players and the confidence and how it's grown. And, you know, the confidence going into every game that we're going to win the game. So, you know, on the flip side of that, every team goes through it. You know, you have these good pushes, you have, you know, some lags in the season where, you know, things aren't going your way. Those are the ups and downs that, I think every team goes through and you need to go through. And right now we're at a good, a point in our season where we want to be playing our best hockey. And I think the guys have done that.
Specifically last game, Todd, did the Stanchion goal like have a negative effect? Like what was, first of all, how crazy was that and all the things you've seen in this game? And was that hard to overcome?
You know what? I was actually, you know, just again, going through the game this morning and watching certain clips, and, you know, probably about 15 minutes ago, I just watched that clip. And for me, I was interested because I didn't remember how our next shift went after that. And I liked the way that we responded to it. You know, it wasn't a great shift where we went down the ice and we dominated or anything like that. But we didn't look rattled by it. And I think you can get rattled by it. And I think sometimes, you know, when things aren't going good, I think that's something that could really rattle you. I think, but because maybe we were playing good and, you know, we've won a lot of games and we're finding ways to win, that it was, I think everyone just felt like, oh, that's just a bad bounce, an unlucky bounce, but we'll be okay because of it. So I have seen that before. It's not the first time. It is weird, and you watch the angles and you can sit there, you know, it's probably, you know, like a hole in one in golf. You can probably sit there and shoot that puck 1,000 times, and you know, to get it to do that is that one out of 1,000 times.
Todd, you know, obviously learning a new system this year and the process that goes into that with new players and a new team, do you feel like the players have fully grasped what you guys and Andrew Burnett have asked them to do, and you're seeing kind of the results and the fruit of that in the way that they've played lately?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, you can even go back with, where were we, 5-10, I think, at the start of the year, and we're 35-25 now. So, you know, if you do the math, you know, that's what, 30-15, something like that. So I have seen that, been around the game enough to understand. And, you know, when you're our new coach coming in, it takes a little bit of time, and there's going to be a lot of times a little bit of struggle at the start of the year. Just grasping that and, you know, teams just coming together, not understanding their roles yet. There's, you know, I'm trying to think of the term, but storming. There's three different phases, and that's one of the phases is storming. And, you know, nobody kind of knows where they fit on the team, and you're still trying to figure out the system. So there's a bit of an adjustment period. And I think, you know, since that point, you can look and, you know, 30-15, if you're able to do that, that's a really good clip that you're going at. So I think the players have grasped it. It's a fun way to play for a player. It's certainly a fun way to watch the game as a fan. And as a coach too, it's a fun way to coach, you know, about playing fast and wanting the puck and you know, we're able to do that. So you can see a difference in how we played, I think, last year and how we're playing this year. And just, you know, puck control and just getting up and down the ice.
Obviously, you know, big moment over the weekend for Cody Glass. But in general, what have you seen from him recently, Todd?
Well, you know what? It's always – everyone has to find their way. And I think Cody would probably be the first guy to say, listen, you know, this year hasn't gone exactly the way that I wanted. But he's a guy who shows up to work. You know, he's a good professional. You know, there's been nights where he hasn't been in the lineup and he hasn't been a distraction. You know, he's there to support his teammates and that's never easy. You know, you don't want players to be happy sitting out, and, you know, no players around here are happy sitting out, but you know, the good thing, and we can go down the list with our players and going through this, but he has been one of them, you know, that has been out of the lineup. You know, he comes in and he works, you know, trying to make himself better. And it's nice to see, you know, guys put in the time and some of the struggles, the ups and downs that they go through throughout the year, you know, in the game of hockey, but to see them start to have success. And you can see how important it is to these guys. And you can see, and he, you know, you, obviously you guys, you could see the reaction after the game and how he felt about it. And those are the things you love as a, I think, as a fan, as a, somebody that's just watching, you know, when it becomes important to these guys and how special it is to these guys, because sometimes you think that it's just there for other reasons. And you can see that it meant a lot to him. And when it means a lot to somebody like that, obviously it means a lot to our organization, means a lot to everybody else around him.
Todd, last thing for you. You guys are taking on the Sabres tonight. We were just going through kind of the defense corps here and the way that they've played lately. How important specifically has the Carrier-Lauzon pairing been to the way you guys have played and what you guys want to do out there this year?
They've been great. They really have. And then they like each other. They like playing with each other. So it's been fun for me to watch too, because I've been here. I've watched Alex, for 4 years now, just kind of come up and kind of grow into the player that he has become. And then, Jeremy, much the same, we acquired him, through a trade with, I think it was Seattle, and that was maybe 2 years ago. And just seeing these guys develop and kind of establish themselves in the league and they're two, I'm not gonna say opposite players, but they're different. They're different in how they look, they're different in how they play, but they fit really well together. And I think both of them being from Quebec, both of them speaking French, and they certainly speak a lot of English too, but I think they have this this bond between the two, and you can see that in how they play on the ice. So they complement each other very, very well in how they play the game. And they've been a huge, there's a team is always a puzzle, and some pieces are bigger than other pieces. And their pieces certainly have grown this year, just with their roles on the team and what they've been able to do and provide our team throughout the season. So it's been fun to watch, and hopefully there's more. There's more down the road from them, and getting them better and having them contribute more and more so our team can get better.
Well, Todd, really appreciate your time this morning. Good luck coming up tonight against Buffalo, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Predators assistant coach Todd Richards, our guest on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll react. Take your thoughts to the Pred 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up here in just a few minutes.
Which, I want to apologize in advance.
I can promise you, you're not going to want to miss.
I
look forward to that.
I don't want to do this.
But you are.
We keep being forced to do this.
And it's going to happen here in just a few minutes. Looking forward to that coming up here at the 7:45-ish. Appreciate Todd Richards for calling in. Preds taking on the Sabres tonight. Taking your thoughts on the Predators, 615-737-1025. I do want to touch on something. Glenn from Greenbrier texting in, says the goal of the franchise is to make the playoffs. I thought Trotz might change that. I don't know that he has. I hear this a lot, and I understand why it comes up. Because it did feel like towards the end of the David Poile tenure that they were doing everything they could possibly do to just try to get in, and probably delayed this sell-off that they did last year. Probably did it about 2 years too late. So I think we could all agree with that.
Which happens, but yeah, it's fair, absolutely.
Yeah, like I think we can all probably agree with that. Now, that also doesn't mean that like every time moving from here forward that you're not like a top two team in your division, that you're like, well, playoffs. Who cares about that? Just sell everybody off. Like there is some value in making the playoffs. And look, if this team makes the playoffs, like I don't think that's a bad thing.
Right.
Like they're the players, and we've talked about this before, you make the decisions that you make in the offseason, and that's what it is. Like Barry Trotz brought in O'Reilly and all these different guys, and there were even people at the time that said, okay, you got rid of Duchesne, you freed up all this cap space, you got a lot of young guys in Milwaukee, and you took some of their spots by bringing in Nyquist and O'Reilly and Shen and all these guys. And by the way, for the most part, it's, those guys have been really good and have been productive. So I don't love the idea of holding on too long to like they did a couple years ago and not selling off probably when they should. But I also dismiss out of hand like this idea that, well, unless they've got all their ducks in a row and they've stockpiled a ton of assets and they're positioned to go be number one or number two in their division and be immediately a cup contender, that you just totally discount the idea of making the playoffs. I don't think Barry Trotz is sitting there like, the only thing I care about is making the playoffs. It's the only thing I care about.
Yeah, like, just to answer Glenn in particular, I mean, the timeline changed, right? Like, they reset the clock. They have a new era, and there is value. Don't discount the business value, but also don't discount the value of getting your young guys in playoff games. I mean, so once you start a season, you want to win. You want to win every game. And then I would definitely agree with, don't mortgage the future for this team to make the playoffs.
100%.
But that's different than what we're talking about, I think, right? Again, if there's a ridiculous, outrageous deal that is what has come out of Barry Trotz's mouth to other GMs for UC Soros, and Tom Fitzgerald's like, you know what? Let's do it. Here, everything you asked for. And Barry Trotz is like, but the playoffs, see, I have a problem with that. I think you still have to have the big picture ahead of this team's playoff position. But short of that, you're trying to make the playoffs, of course.
Yeah, like every player in there and the coaching staff is trying to make playoffs. It is what it is.
Right, their job is to win.
Right. So, again, I just think, like, sometimes you can go a little too far the other way too, right? Like, everybody, I get it. Like, the Predators, there's no question about it. They sold off, like, 2 years too late. And it is what it is.
Like, Cam's like, the mindset since 98 has been just get in and you never know. We're tired of getting in. We want to win it. Well, they built up a team that was good enough to win it. You talked about that team yesterday, Robbie. You know, that 06-07 team was absolutely – yeah, and they've had other teams. They've built up teams. They got within two wins of winning it in 2017. So, I mean, I don't think the mindset is the exact same since 1998, nor have the teams been the exact same.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up to begin the 8 o'clock hour. NFL free agency begins next week. We'll get Charles's thoughts on that and how that could factor in with the Tennessee Titans. Coming up next, the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. And it could be spicy. I'll just go ahead and tell you. We'll get into that next. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025, 1063, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rexroad.
Why are you holding your hands like that?
I'm trying to get a question in here.
Well, then ask the question. No, I'm just saying, like, you look ridiculous.
What's up? This is Scott Stapp from Creed, and you're listening to Robbie and Rexroad on 102.5 The Game.
Thank you. That was just something for our sister station.
Okay. Did I say Rexroad right?
Rexroad.
Okay, let me do that again.
No worries.
What's up? This is Scott Stapp from Creed, and you're listening to Robbie and Rexroad on 102.5 The Game.
It is time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad here on the program.
That's aging well. I mean, I like that more and more every time.
I do too. It's great stuff.
It's beautiful. Okay, well, that put me in a good mood. So let's
quickly get you out of that.
I don't want to do this. I don't want this segment to just be like, Jared throwing stuff at us. We throw stuff back at Jared. But sometimes, like, he just has to be corrected. So I'm going to do that calmly. Not going to scream or anything, but
don't believe you.
We'll give some backstory. Last week's Jared vs. Joe, which caused me to apologize the next day to Caroline. Caroline suggested that Marvin Harrison Jr.'s name, you know, the fact that, you know, he's the son of Marvin Harrison, has something to do with, like, where he is, you know, as a player, where he's evaluated. She mentioned the Heisman, and I lost it because, hey, does anybody remember where Jeffrey Jordan? Everybody remember Jeffrey Jordan in college basketball?
No.
Yeah, he played at Illinois. He's Michael Jordan's son. No one gives a crap. No one gives a crap. So that part of it, very infuriating. Apparently Jared thinks that I got mad at her because she said Malik Nabers was better than Marvin Harrison. No. I mean, I don't agree with that, but that's not the point. It's almost like the helmet scouting thing too, but actually it makes me even madder. The helmet scouting. Ohio State's never had a good quarterback. Well, that's true. Woody Hayes, back when they ran the freaking single wing, didn't produce good NFL quarterbacks, so that matters now. Like, it's the same thing, this idea of there's plenty of children of great athletes who don't do a damn thing, and no one cares. Bronny James not going to do anything in the NBA next year, and he's not going to win the Naismith because he's LeBron James' kid. Okay?
That long fuse is running out.
I know. We haven't even gotten to what made me mad today. So I guess let's just play Jared from yesterday. Someone on the text line, thanks for bringing my attention to this, and we can just play this segment now.
With Jared versus Joe, Caroline and Joe got into it about Marvin Harrison versus Malik Nabers, and then Robbie and Joe the next day were like Beavis and Butthead laughing at the idea that Malik Nabers might be better than Marvin Harrison. And Mike Sando's piece in The Athletic where he talked to the six unnamed executives, all have quarterbacks going 1, 2, 3, that's fine. But Marvin Jr. is not a slam dunk at 4. And that's because I think a lot of people are like me, and we think that Marvin Harrison Jr. is good. I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is good. But you know what I don't think he is? Ian, did you ever watch the Fresh Prince back in the day?
Sure.
I do not think that he is all that in a bag of chips. I think he's fine. I don't think he's that good. Whereas for the last year, people have been like, oh, Marvin Harrison Jr., he's just so incredible. He's just so... I'm going to be honest. I didn't even think Marvin Sr. was that good.
That is a great cherry on top right there. Oh, my God. Just an absolute avalanche of stupid takes. Just an absolute avalanche. But here, let me make it clear. I don't think... Like, it's Marvin Harrison Jr. and then some massive Grand Canyon between Nabers or Adunze. But the thing is, I'm not sure I don't like Adunze better than Nabers. I'm not mad at you if you think one of those guys is better than Marvin Harrison Jr. I think you are downplaying Marvin Harrison Jr. I think he's the best receiver. I think he's great. I think he's going to be great. The arguing about this is the point of the name and how that has anything to do with anything. But man, the fact that Jared just went, and by the way, Marv Sr. wasn't very good either. Cherry on top. Actually, this isn't, I'm not even mad. Like, I'm happy. You bring us joy, Jared. Thank you.
So is his thought process for Marvin Harrison Sr. that I guess Peyton Manning made him? And he was like, well, he's played with Peyton Manning, so he can't be.
I don't know.
Peyton Manning made him great.
This was brought to us. So I've only heard that clip. And boy, if that's any indication of the whole segment, what a juicy segment that was yesterday on the program.
I just want to go through a 4-year stretch. I could go through more, but I'll just go through a 4-year stretch for Marvin Harrison Sr. from 1999 to 2002. Are you ready for this?
Okay.
99, 115 catches, 1,663 yards, 12 touchdowns. 2000. 102 catches, 1,413 yards, 14 touchdowns. 2001, 109 catches, 1,524 yards, 15 touchdowns. And 2002, 143 catches, 1,722 yards, and 11 touchdowns. I could go more, but that's just a 4-year stretch from 99 to 02.
Yeah, he was.
Peyton Manning was great, yes.
Marvin Harrison
was also great.
Yes, exactly. Both can be true. So he mentioned the Sando piece, by the way, and it is – so there's basically one GM. He interviewed six GMs, Sando did, and basically one of them was not fully sold, I guess, because Marvin Harrison wasn't like the consensus number 4 pick. But of the six, two of them put him there, and he still was rated above the other receivers. And the only GM quoted said he's the most talented of the receivers, but – yeah, like I'm not saying – I think it's a top 3, and that's the tier. I think that's fair to say, right? And I don't think there's a huge gap. Personally, I would take Marvin Harrison. I'm not going, you'd take Roma Dunze or Malik Nabers. What? I'm not – it's not the biggest deal in the world. The biggest deal in the world is his dad, his name has something to do with it. My God.
I didn't even think Marvin Sr. was that good.
That's amazing. Do anybody know who Barry Sanders' kid is doing?
No.
He's a walk-on at Michigan State in basketball. He gets in when it's a 30-point game.
That's good.
How is he not the Doak Walker winner, even though he plays basketball? I don't know. That's the part. That's the take that is just amazing. And the Marvin Harrison Sr. The other stuff, it's fine. We'll see.
Old Skippy has texted me. Yes, it's because he played with Peyton. Just like Edgerrin, Reggie Wayne, Poli, and Dwight Freeney, and Dungy. They were all good, but they weren't that good. Peyton made everyone.
Wow. Okay. There you go. The takes keep flowing.
did you watch him play?
I mean, and that's what I say about Marvin Jr. too. Again, like, I love Malik Nabers. He's really good. He's not Randy Moss, which is apparently Jared's comp. My God. Speaking of takes. But if you watch Marvin Harrison Jr. play, dude, he is unbelievable. We'll see. I mean, it's a good top tier.
It is. Who's Beavis? Who's Butthead?
Well, I guess, I mean, see, really, you're more Butthead because Butthead kind of leads the discussion, and then Beavis is like, yeah, you know, I guess that's me, right?
I'm proudly Butthead, I guess.
Okay, there you go. I'll be Beavis.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. We'll get his thoughts on the beginning of NFL free agency, which is right around the corner. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.